If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening. If you were listening from the first hour, this hour is devoted to, we'll get a little Mike Royko at the end of the hour, but Henry Farag grew up in Gary, Indiana, one of 11 children of a steelworking father, and somehow came to music. How did you come to music?
Well, it was really through a crystal radio, and that attracted the closest signal that you could get, which happened to be WWCA radio, which wasn't far from our house. And there I heard Vivian Carter.
And that's what dragged you into music, dragged you irresistibly into a life.
Into a life of music is absolutely right.
Which has manifested itself most recently for about the last 2 years in a show called The Signal that I believe should be, I think it's a better show. I haven't seen the whole show, but I've heard you enough. I've seen you sing in here. I have heard the substance of the show. I think this thing is better than Jersey Boys. I think it should one day wind up in a big production. I know you do too. We'll talk about where it's gone in those 2 years, but you've got like a
yes,
great producer has something that, what is this?
Well, we have a Facebook page. It's The Signal Musical or The Signal Doo-Wop Rhapsody. And on that, there's various cuts of different things. And this is a 2.5 minute montage, if you will, of the play, including a little narration, a little music, and it tells the whole story.
Oh, great. Who put this together?
My son Ryan did.
Terrific. Let's give it a listen.
Christmas 1956, I remember getting a crystal radio and trying to put the thing together. I had a hard time putting this radio together, but it would only get the strongest signal. And one night, this strong signal from WWCA radio in Gary, Indiana came booming out with the Dells, Oh, What a Night. And from then on, that's all she wrote. That was the music.
Living with Vivian. You are on with the one and only Vivian Carter, the radio hostess who loves you the mostest, coming to you from WWCA Radio. Put your ears to the box, all you powder puffs and sponges. I'm going to spin you some wax by my favorite group right here in Gary. It's on my label, VJ, and you can get it at my store, Vivian's Record Shop on 17th and Broadway. Here they are, James Pookie Hudson and the Spaniels.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. I hate to leave you, but I really must say good night, sweetheart. Good night.
The cast: Willie Rogers, Patrick Petrie, Gene Stewart, Cheryl Youngblood, Linda Walla, Wilton Crump. My name is Henry. We thank you all for coming. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you over there. We're going to hang out with you. Thank you. It's a little bit of the story of the show, and I'm glad that it's live. It's taken from a actual performance we did at the Acorn. And we've done quite a few other theaters, but boy, is that our favorite place.
Now, you were, and when we met decades ago, you were part of this a sort of small group called Stormy Weather.
Right. And so I did everything a cappella, ran around singing every chance I could, and still do.
Well, you ran around singing at places like the White House.
Well, that's true.
How self-effacing it is. We ran around places singing.
Well, we got a chance to travel a lot of places.
How did Stormy Weather, take people back and remind them, how did Stormy Weather start?
Well, actually, again, from that same story, because I had heard a couple of a cappella recordings by the Persuasions, which knocked me out. Mm-hmm. So I said, wait a minute, I'm going to try and do this, and I picked a name out of one of my spaniels, my favorite recordings of the spaniels called Stormy Weather, and that's how I put everybody together. And
who were these people? Where did you get these people?
Just various people that I would know. One was on a sheriff's department. One was a neighborhood guy that we used to sing with. Another was a grocery store clerk. We all just got together. The ones that had sung in high school, we knew could carry different notes, we just put together.
Did the success of Stormy Weather kind of stun you?
Well, it really did, because I just wanted to emulate the Persuasions.
Yeah.
And we put out a one album, and pretty soon we found ourselves on the Today Show, and we found ourselves on things like that, and even doing some TV series and things like that. So it did amaze me, and it just every day tells me that, boy, you just never know where anything might take you.
Yeah, yeah. This was all inspired by this. This is a person, and one of the great things about your show, The Signal, is that it gives credit to a woman who's kind of been buried in musical history. I mean, this Vivian Carter.
Well, it's a rarely told story.
Yeah.
It's one I've been telling for 50 years.
Right.
But it's a black woman, African-American woman in the 1950s, believe it or not, that was the first not only to put out the real rhythm and blues, spaniels, Eldorados, Jerry Butler, Gladys Knight and the Pips, Dells, etc. She was also the first to put the Four Seasons on record, and above all, the first to bring the Beatles to America.
See, that is, do you think there's, I don't want to say there's some racial bias here, but that's an astonishing thing. And the
I think there is.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Sure.
I think the fact that this is an African-American woman who is an entrepreneur didn't hold the same cachet. I think it does now, and I think this is one of the best rock and roll stories out there. You know, it's even relevant now with the political scene, because the play starts out with a childhood of mine. You know, my dad came from Egypt, from Cairo. He was actually Muslim. His original name was Muhammad Ali Farag.
Wow.
Then it became Henry, and that's my name. And my mother came from Paris, and they immigrated through New York and Ellis Island and met at the World's Fair in Chicago
in 1933.
Now, I get a gift from a Crystal Radio, and I'm listening to an African-American woman in the neighborhood that is Puerto Rican, Mexican, Polish, everything else. And you know what? It's harmony. This play and this musical is the good side of what all the controversy is today. This is harmony, literally and figuratively.
God, that's beautifully put. That is beautifully put. We'll take a little break and come back and talk more to Henry Farag about, because that racial harmony in the days when there were jobs in the steel mills, and it was, you know, you could live in a neighborhood with a bunch of different kinds of people.
And we did, and we all, my dad did, I did.
Yeah, yeah. You look back.
I still have coal dust. It's still in me.
Still in your blood.
Yes.
We'll be back in a couple minutes. Hey, Cubs fans, collect your next Cubs Fathead sticker this Sunday when you grab a copy of the Chicago Tribune at Jewel Osco. This week's sticker has a special offer from Blue Lizard Sunscreen. We'll be right back. We are back. Henry Farag and I are talking about his life and talking about the show, his show, The Signal, which will be at the Acorn Theater on August 21st. Acorn Theater, spelled the correct way, .com is the website. You performed at the Acorn before.
And yes.
You, take me back to when I first discovered the show and wrote about the show back in October of 2014. You'd had a couple appearances just before that.
Yes, we had. We were at the Gardner Center, Karen Lee there. Great, great theater. That's a converted drugstore.
Yeah.
Then we were at the Aquatorium in Gary, which was a converted bathhouse.
Right.
So we were getting our, but we were making our bones, you know.
But it's been, I mean, and I've heard not just from you, who is a friend of mine, but from people who've seen it. People love it.
Well, I thank you. And, you know, I'm gratified. I know the whole cast is gratified. You know, I actually wrote the book, The Signal, a doo-wop rhapsody, for, which was published by Indiana University about a decade ago.
Right.
And that's what gave me the idea to write it. The book is no longer available in stores, I don't think, but it is available at Kindle and Amazon and all that. Anyway, that's what gave me the idea. And Jim Lane at Indiana University has always been helping me as an editor. And
one of the things that distinguishes the show, as opposed to a show like Jersey Boys, it's racially mixed.
Yes.
Which I think is one of the great, great appeals for this show.
Well, we learned that in high school, that the sound, the texture of groups that were integrated were more attractive. They had more interest to all of us, not just me, but I mean groups like the Del Vikings, the Crests, that were big hits.
Yeah,
they were all integrated. This was in the 50s.
Yeah,
and our cast is like that, but it even goes further because we have ages on that stage that range from 80 to 20 something.
Wow.
So the many areas of diversity that you can have, that's what we have, and it makes the music better.
Let's hear a song. You've got out there, Aubrey Mumpower's got a CD out there. Is it
yes.
a CD of the show?
No, we don't have that yet.
Well,
that's
talk, to,
a cast
talk
album.
To Sparrow now. Talk
there
to Sparrow. You
go.
Need
but,
the cast album.
But this is a recorded version, I think, of obviously one of the great Jerry Butler's songs that I did. It's a recorded version of the song that we do in the play, Call for Your Precious Love.
How about that, Aubrey? Could we hear Call for Your Precious Love? Or Henry and I could just sing it.
Or we can talk.
Yeah,
or
he can just sing it. You don't want me singing it.
Which would be track 15, I think.
Your precious love, me
It's a great tune. That's a great tune. And Henry Ferry's just telling me how Chicago-centric that tune is.
Right. I mean, we recorded that at Streeterville. Daddy G, Gene Barge of Quarter to Three and Night with Daddy G produced it. He was also a major producer for Chess Records. You know, I lived on Record Row along with a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, so everything we do in this musical has to do with that feeling. It evokes that feeling.
You have the other members. I mean, many of the African-American members are from the Soul Stirrers, right?
Well, Willie Rogers is the lead singer of the Soul Stirrers. He's the one who did Change Is Gonna Come, which brings the house down. And he is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he is the lead singer of the Soul Stirrers.
I remember when you brought him in the studio.
He's done Broadway at the Lunt Theater with Gospel Colonus, Gene Stewart in the cast is also in the Soul Stirrers, and he did Lincoln Center with various people. So we have some. Cheryl Youngblood, she's from the Pilgrim Baptist Church on the South Side.
And they also, one thing that tells me that this show has a real future is when you brought most of them into this very studio not long ago, maybe a couple years ago.
So you're headed home.
And you could sense the joy that they had doing the show.
Yes, we have a lot of fun with it because we all know it. We all live it. We all have lived it. And, you know, we did get a lot of help. Like I mentioned, the Aquatorium and Karen Lee at the Gardner Center and Munster Center for Performing Arts, Richard Friedman. They put on great shows there, and they put us, so far we've done 5 shows there.
Wow.
So these people have supported us, too. So that's wonderful. So, you know, we're just looking to go and grow.
Yeah, see, what I think you need, and I think you need somewhere in Chicago, whether it's on Halsted Street or somewhere else, a confined 6-week run.
That's right.
Like Wednesday to Sunday, a solid 6-week run, because I think the show, there could be embellishments if you had your own house.
That's right.
Whether it's video embellishments or, you know, your costumes are all great, I'm sure, but you could do a more full-blown.
Well, I would predict if we did a sit-down, a 6-week, whatever, sit-down, the word of mouth would be phenomenal because this is where Chicago lives.
Yep.
There is no getting around it. And this is a music town, and this is a theater town.
No question. And you would also draw, though. I think the thing about it that I think would make it very attractive to someone who owns or runs a theater is you draw a lot of people who are not ordinary theatergoers. Because, look who went to see Jersey Boys.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. It's the preppy, yuppie, whatever. And we get a diverse audience, just like a diverse cast. And it's wonderful because, again, remember when I told you, it really is harmony, literally and figuratively. And it's harmony in the cast, and it's harmony in the audience, so we all have a ball.
Yeah, yeah. I cannot tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what a booster I am of the show.
And we thank you, Mr. Rick.
It's Cogan. Henry, it's my pleasure. I just think, you know, I got to think that in many ways it's I want to talk after we get the news, and I'm going to keep you for about 10, 15 more minutes after that to talk more about the importance of this kind of show. I think this kind of show is very empowering for young, can be very empowering if it's and is being for young African-American men.
I agree.
I really, really believe that, and I think that's a very important element these days in this strife-filled kind of town.
There's
a joyfulness to this show that flies in the face of the tragedy and horror that everybody's dealing with.
And it's not political at all.
Yeah,
yet
exactly.
It is. When you express it like you did, it certainly is.
But the message is subtle. Message is subtle. We'll take a short break, then we'll get some news, and then I'll carry on with Henry talking about The Signal. It'll be at the Acorn Theater on August 21st. Go to acorntheater.com.
She was just 16 and all alone when I came to be So we grew up together,
my mom and child and me.
Now things were bad and she was scared, but whenever I would cry, she'd count my fears and dry my tears with a rock and roll lullaby.
That's pretty good stuff too, Henry Ferry. That's pretty good stuff too. Henry is in here to talk about not only his years with Stormy Weather, and he's still with Stormy Weather, and he's collaborating with members of the Soul Stirrers to produce a show called The Signal, which traces basically your life and how music has influenced you, but also influenced a couple generations of people.
You know, it's so true what a little plastic 45 can do. And this is what your earlier, segment.
Sparrow and Joni, yeah.
I mean, these things, if you take the care, you never know who may be listening. Because I was listening at 11 years old, and I married this music.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think there's a generational thing here, too, that not to sound old, but I'm not sure the kids at Lollapalooza are going to have that kind of sense of it. It's too big. It's too massive.
Well, you know,
more power to them. But
more power to them, and I agree with that because every generation has their music that they love. But one thing I can tell you about this music is it has a lasting, and that's not a biased statement. You can see it in every commercial, movies, everything.
This, oh, yeah, no
this
question.
This music is entrenched in society, and I think it's just because it says something, whether it's in the lyrics, the feeling, or just a tug of the heartstrings, it says something.
Who is coming to see in the various places you've played? And again, the Signal will be in performance at the Acorn Theater on August 21st. That's a Sunday, right?
That's a Sunday.
What time's the show?
4 o'clock.
Well, that gives all the people who have summer homes up there time to see the show and get back to Chicago.
Well, you know, so
that's brilliant.
That was originally Sandra Thompson's idea, and we didn't know from Sundays, you know. And
yeah, it's like a late matinee,
yeah,
is what it is.
And and that was her idea, and voila, it worked. I mean,
wow.
We've been sold out on Sunday. Now, we're not sold out on this show, so get your tickets.
AcornTheater.com.
But we do sell out over there. And that Sunday show, we just love.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah. I'll bet the audiences love it. Who are you drawing to the show? Can you give me a sort of general feel of the audience?
Well, the general feeling, I'm going to say, is anywhere from late 40s to
70s. Yeah.
You know, around that area. That's the, and we draw, you know, all races. We don't, there's just so many ethnicities.
See, that's one of the things that should appeal to a potential producer of this show, is because you don't get that in a lot of shows. I'm sure Hamilton is drawing, because I love the way they cast Hamilton. I think that's brilliant, and it's right.
And we have not taken a cue from them, I'm proud to say.
You went before them.
We were doing this because everybody talks about the diversity of the Hamilton cast, and we've been doing that all along.
Yeah.
Thing is, we haven't been looking for producers. We haven't been looking for the commercial connections, because we've been working out the show more than anything.
Right.
And we kind of took the tack that it's better to be, I don't know that we want to keep it this way, but it's better to be loved by a few than liked by many. We'd like to turn it into being loved by many.
No, see, I think it's been about 2 years. It'll be 2 years, I think, this fall.
Yes.
Since you've been doing it. I think the time is right to really, really go after a permanent, not for 20 years, but a permanent, you know, wouldn't it be nice to have like a 3-month run?
Oh, absolutely.
At a theater in Chicago that's accessible to people in Gary, that's accessible to the whole Chicago
area. And we saw
area.
That in Munster, by the way. We saw how the different neighborhoods would come out. You have to give them something they want to see, though.
Yeah.
And it can't be the same thing, like you said, not say anything again. Obviously, it was far more successful than I am, but not to say anything about Jersey Boys or Motown or anything like that. But it's one-dimensional. Ours carries a lot more than that.
You know, even the Carole King show, frankly.
Right.
I thought it was a thin.
No story.
Thin show.
Right.
Very thin. The music carried the show.
Right.
This music is on that same level, but the story, the music is a manifestation of the story.
And the thing is that when you think about the immigrant story, which is universal in
totally.
America, when you think about the Black entrepreneur that never gets the credit for all that we know that is rock and roll. When you think of the Spaniels, the Soulsters, the Stormy Weather, all that put together, and everybody knows every song that's on that stage and sings along, you have the makings for a good night.
Well, and it also, the fact, it's not just, you know, with all due respect to other singers. I mean, you are the people who did these songs. You are the people who made these songs. You are the people, and I don't want to get too mystical here, but you invest them with something that an ordinary musical theater actor could not invest them with.
Well,
right?
In a way, first of all, I do agree with you, and I think it's almost like a gritty steel mill version of Prairie Home Companion or something like that. It's gritty. It tells the truth, and it tells, but it uplifts.
Yeah, yeah. How many songs are in the show?
21 or
wow.
Sometimes 23.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you wrote the book.
I wrote the book. When obviously the songs are used with permission from all the different, you know, the very popular ones. But we also start this musical out with, I shouldn't give it away, but I am on Rick Copeland. We started out with Gregorian chants, which
really
throws people because,
hey, they already bought tickets and they're in the chairs.
But it quickly gets into some good old fashioned rock and roll. But the reason for the Gregorian chants is growing up in a Catholic parish where I was an altar boy, that to me reminded me of the Black Harmony sound.
Wow.
It was close. It was haunting, like you had mentioned about the sparrows.
So
and we touch other kind of music. So yeah, it's got a lot of music.
Henry, I can't wait. I mean, I would even walk to Manhattan to see this
well,
on
we
Broadway.
Have to get but you think, there one day.
Well, but I think the whole thing now is to try to find. Ladies and gentlemen, go to acorntheater.com. It's in beautiful Three Oaks, Michigan. The show is 4 o'clock Sunday, August 21st, The Signal.
See our favorite theater.
Oh, it's a great theater. If you've never been there, it's worth going just for the theater. Henry, it is always great to see you. I cannot wait to have you back on when you're announcing seriously that you're booked into, I don't know, the Royal George or the Steppenwolf.
Well, when
Rogers.
That happens, we're going out for a few
thousand
as,
drinks.
Yeah, as they say, a few pops.
A thousand cocktails.
Yeah, there you go.
Henry, it's great to see you. And
Thank you, Rick.
What a big booster I am of this thing. I cannot
wait. I know,
wait.
And I appreciate it.
And I think it's ready now, but the fall, 2 years.
Yes,
it's
we
about
did have
ready,
to go through that, yes.
About ready to take that next step. Well, we're going to take a little short commercial break, and then I will play you 10 minutes of